Yeah. I gotta go old on that one. I gotta go back to the 90s on that one. Yeah. I had to rock. I'm in a 90s mood. What's going on, man? I'm here. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Had to play some of that. That's that Black Girl Magic shit. They had them sexy-ass girl groups from the 90s. We need more of that. Some of that Black Girl Magic. Them fine sisters popping it. Anyway, man, how y'all doing? I'm here. This is Tariq. Welcome to Tariq Radio. I'm ready to chop up some good game with you. The phone number, family, is 818-850-5404. That is the number where you can holler at the player. And what we're going to do, we're going to take that real quick commercial break, family. I mean real quick, and I don't want y'all to go nowhere because we will be right back right on Tariq Radio.
Do you have any personal dating issues that you need addressed right now? Dating and life coach Mr. Locario will help you with his 30-minute game session. The Mr. Locario's 30-minute game session is a private one-on-one coaching session on the phone or through Skype. For 30 minutes, you'll get answers to any dating questions you have. To set up your 30-minute game session, go to MrLocario.com. That's MrLocario.com. MrLocario.com.
What's up, family? If you make music and you're looking for experienced, no-nonsense audio engineers that can professionally mix and master your music, then check out my friends at LegendaryMix.com. With over 15 years in the music industry, their expertise is unmatched. LegendaryMix.com delivers professional music mixing mastering for a great price with a fast turnaround time. As a bonus to sign up to the email list at LegendaryMix.com, you'll receive a discount link and a free music marketing ebook. So drop everything right now. Send a text to legendarymix.com at 347-565-5892 or email music@legendarymix.com.
This is the Fortune 500 marketer, Musa Ali. Are you sick of working a dead-end job and want to be financially free? Well, LSV Marketing is a marketing company that pays you $500 to $1,000 every Friday on autopilot for simply referring people to our company. It's that simple. If you sign up now at lsvmarketing.com, I'll plug you into our free training so you can start making money in your sleep. But you have to sign up now because spots are limited. Go to lsvmarketing.com. That's lsvmarketing.com.
Are you or a loved one facing criminal charges? Have you been hurt in an accident? Are you looking for aggressive representation from an experienced attorney? Let this former prosecutor evaluate your case for free. Call or text the Harmon Law Firm, located in Savannah, Georgia. The Harmon Law Firm represents clients throughout the whole state of Georgia. They're convenient and they're affordable. Give them a call at 912-662-6058 or email crystal at harmonlawfirmllc.com.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Crispy, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered!
Yo, we are back. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Glad to have y'all tuning back in. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. I am Mr. Nasheed. Tariq, if you're nasty, glad to have everybody here. I'm ready to do this. I hope y'all have your tickets to see the movie 1804 in theaters nationwide in a couple of weeks, in theaters out here in L.A., Los Angeles, next week. Next Thursday is the world premiere of 1804 right out here in Los Angeles at the Area Fine Arts Theater. Go to 1804movie.com. Also, family, we have added Atlanta. We finally got Atlanta. We got a screening for Atlanta. It's going to be on the Midtown Cinema on Wednesday, October 18th. So it's going to be Wednesday, October 18th. One day showing only. Get your tickets now. They are going to sell out definitely. Washington, D.C., that one has sold out. If you're around the D.C. area, you're going to have to go to one of the theaters in Baltimore. We got two theaters in Baltimore. We got the Senator Theater. And what's the other one? I got to look and see. Hold on one second. We got two theaters in Baltimore. We got the Senator Theater and the Harbor East Theater. So you can go to either one of those theaters. I'm going to be at the Senator Theater out there chopping it up. I'm not going to do a lecture. I might do a few Q&As, but I'm going to be out there with the family just vibing. I like Baltimore, man. I got a real big following out there in Baltimore. I want to be out there with the Baltimore fam. But I'm glad to have Atlanta on the list. We were working hard, man. We were really, really trying to get a venue in Atlanta, and we pulled it off, man. We pulled some strings, and we got it. I could not leave Atlanta out the mix, man. Atlanta was looking at me like, hey, you going to do us like this? I wasn't going to leave you hanging, Atlanta. I wasn't going to leave you hanging. Also, man, I hope you guys have your tickets for Birmingham, England. I'm going to be out there Sunday, October 22nd. We're going to show the film, 1804, and I'm going to do a Q&A afterwards. So I'm going to be there live at the Millennium Point Auditorium. So you need to get your tickets there now. All my London people, all my people in London, take the train up there. Go ahead and take that train ride. All over the UK, come on down. That's the only place I'm going to be. I'm going to be in Birmingham. I'm not going to be any other places. And just get your tickets, man. We got Miami, Minneapolis, New Orleans, at the Prytania Theater in New Orleans. So there's a lot of cities that's been added. What other city? Fort Lauderdale, that's been added because the Miami showing is almost sold out. So you guys can go to Fort Lauderdale. It's going to be at the Cinema Paradiso, and that's going to be Thursday, October 26th. Some of these dates are going to be like a week later. I know like Norfolk, Virginia, that's going to be October 26th. Fort Lauderdale is going to be October 26th, but most of the showings are going to be on the 19th. So again, for your screening city, go to 1804movie.com, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to see you in your Ogun shirts. And you can get your Ogun shirts at TariqElite.com. And people are loving the Ogun shirts. The Ogun shirts are flying off the racks. People are loving them. You know, in Chicago, they're going to be on sale. Somebody in the chat room just asked about Chicago, and I just talked to the theater about Chicago. I think they said the tickets are going to go on sale on the 10th. And what day is that? I'm looking at my calendar. That's next Tuesday. The tickets are going to go on sale, and I think we're going to have it in Chicago for 2 days. We're going to have it on the 19th and the 20th. Ticket sales might go on. They might go on sale sooner, but the latest is going to be next Tuesday at 1804movie.com. So it's always, it's going to be popping. We got it popping. You're in Huntington, somebody from Compton. Shout out to Compton. He said he's from Huntington Park. He just got his tickets. Yes, everybody get your tickets now. It's going to be sold out all over these places. So get your tickets now. So a lot of stuff we got to get into. On Twitter today, I was going back and forth with a lot of the suspects because they had this fake outrage about Cam Newton. There was this fake outrage about NFL player Cam Newton. They were calling Cam Newton all types of sexists. He's a sexist. I mean, they were really going overboard with it. And black people, victims of white supremacy, you have to understand the deflection game that the white supremacists like to play. They are the masters of the deflection game. They master that. They love playing the deflection game. And we got to stop falling for it. That's a way for them to change the narrative. You notice all the NFL protest where people are protesting systematic white supremacy. People have been very specific about what they're protesting. They've been repeating it over and over again. We're protesting systematic racism, police brutality against black people. And the white supremacists, they have gone out of their way to deflect and change the narrative by talking about the flag, by talking about veterans, which they don't give a shit about, by the way. Understand this. All these white supremacists, they don't give a shit about no veteran. You go, you drive around any major city, you see homeless vets all over the damn place who get shitted on. So they don't give a shit about no veterans. They don't really give a shit about the flag. That's why they'll change the American flag for an Irish flag, for a Confederate flag. That's a whole bunch of game. That is a whole bunch of game. But they always have to deflect, because you cannot logically discuss white supremacy because it can be dismantled. White supremacy is based on deception. So if you try to logically discuss white supremacy straight up and down, all the lies and deception will be pointed out and the hypocrisy will be pointed out. So the white supremacists know part of their code is to always deflect when it comes to talking about white supremacy, deflect into talking about political views. Well, it's the Democrats. The Democrats are the racists. It's that stupid ass shit. That's nothing more than a deflection. What about black on black crime in Chicago? It's nothing more than deflections. Black folks, we fall for their deflections. When they throw a deflection out, we start trying to defend their deflection, and they're winking at each other because they've gotten you off track. You always bring it back to systematic white supremacy. Don't let them fool you with their deflections. The white supremacists, they've mastered that. That's part of the code. I really wish black folks understand the deflection code. That's all it is. Nothing more, nothing less. And they don't believe the bullshit that they deflect about, by the way. They do not believe the bullshit that they are deflecting about. That's a con game. They get into fake selected outrage. Now, they just released O.J. Simpson from jail. And O.J. Simpson, he's on parole. He's not, you know, he's still, they got the papers on him. And they're going to use that to really hang over his head. And he's trying to get back down to Florida. And you had this white supremacist Attorney General Pam Bondi. Y'all need to look up her background. She's a real piece of work. So she's pretty much telling the public to harass O.J. Simpson because she's trying to make her political bones. You know, these white supremacist females, they're real big at, you know, getting a black subject and then beating it over and over again and just really, really working it. Hold on 1 second. Wait. Do I have any moderators? Hold on. Somebody's in the chat room. I got to get out. Hold on 1 second. All right. Sorry about that, guys. I need some of my moderators in the chat room over here on Ustream. I'm broadcasting live on Ustream and some other entities. And I really need some of my mods to get in the room. But like I said, they just released OJ. He's on parole. And Pam Bondi, who's the attorney general down in Florida, let me let y'all listen to an interview she did. And she's done interviews over and over again, really telling people to, if you see OJ, use your phone and just basically harass him because she don't like the verdict. You know, and she's just trying to get her political bones up. Hold on.
Things that are well documented. So we may have to take him, though. We might. There is no right to take him, but under the criteria and the hook he's using is that he has family living here. And it's a shame, frankly, because his children, I think, have led really good lives. They've chosen to live under anonymity. And now he's going to bring them to the forefront of this if he comes to our state. But if he is allowed to come, that's when we get to go through his file. That's when we say, you're not going to report in by mail, O.J. Simpson. You're going to have travel restrictions. You're going to get alcohol tested. You are not going to be allowed to drink in our state. And those are things that we're all going to be able to enforce. And by the way, Nevada.
So, you know, she's already saying they're trying to get him back in jail. So the fact that this is a political person, a politician, really talking about harassing a private citizen, that just shows you the Nazi mindset that these fuckers have.
Nevada made our state think, our Department of Corrections think, that this man was not being released until next week. So therefore, we have not seen any travel plans from him. So if they're trying to pull something fast on Florida, it's not going to work in my state.
Well, Pam, he'll end up likely either in Nevada or Florida. But our own Adam Housley is reporting that the first photo of O.J. Simpson may be worth upwards of $20,000. What does that say to you about how the public views O.J. Simpson vis-a-vis how you may view him?
You know what, public? If you see him in Florida, take some pictures. Send him in. Send him in so we can see what he's doing. If you see him drinking alcohol, whatever you see him doing. And I saw one of his former...
You see this? Now, this is basically... You got a politician here, and also she's been on several news entities, news outlets, where they're broadcasting this woman, this politician, who's telling the public to harass a private citizen. What kind of fuck shit is that? She's telling people to harass a private citizen. If you see him, take pictures of him and report what he's doing. If he's misbehaving, you're deputizing people to harass a person, and that's going to lead to some kind of assault. So she's giving people, she's dog whistling the hell out of everything here. She's giving them the green light, letting people know if you do something to this guy, we're not going to punish you. So she's putting a target on the dude's back.
Defense attorneys warn him of that. Social media is everywhere now. So if he's going to act up, we're going to find him in Florida.
Well, and he may be joining social media himself, Pam. I mean, he says he wants to enjoy the simplicities of life. He wants to enjoy seafood and steak. And he wants to get an iPhone because he's been in prison the whole time before the iPhone.
This is fucked. It's so fucking fake, by the way. It's so fucking fake.
Was even invented or brought into our lives. So maybe we'll see him on Twitter.
And you know what, Abby? I think he wants the limelight. I think he will. I don't think the man can help himself. And I think that's what's ultimately going to get him back in trouble. Do we want anyone to fail?
See, yes, you do. See, this is them planning on setting him up again. This is why OJ should have got his black ass up out the country after the first trials. He should have left. He really don't understand white supremacy. They set him up already. That's why he did 9 years. For stealing his own stuff. It's the only person in the history of America who went to jail for 9 years for stealing their own stuff. I mean, you really need to understand white supremacy. You really need to understand it. And now he can't leave now because he's under parole now. And she's already said, we're going to have travel restrictions. So they're going to do all types of shit. They're going to harass this dude and they're going to use the I'm white and I say so law. If this man orders a pizza, they're going to find something and try to flip it into something illegal to twist. They're desperate. They're desperate to maintain white supremacy and use him as a proxy for all black people. We have to understand that. That's the white supremacist mindset. They will get a well-to-do or well-known black person, and he's the proxy for all black people, the representative of all black people. But the thing is, if she's talking about how people should harass and make sure somebody's not misbehaving because they have a violent history, because that's her whole argument. OJ's a criminal with a violent history, and if you see him out, let us know what he's doing. Take pictures of him. Send them to us. Okay, if it's okay to harass violent people in the state of Florida, so I guess the same thing goes for George Zimmerman too, right? According to Pam Bondi, her logic, the same should be done to George Zimmerman. He should be followed. He should be monitored. You should watch and see what he's doing. make sure he's not misbehaving, which he does all the time. He's killed people. He's beaten people. He's pulled guns on other people. He's been arrested for domestic violence. I mean, he has a pretty violent history. So he's walking around. Nobody's complaining about him, these politicians. So based on her logic, people should kind of follow Zimmerman around and make sure he's not misbehaving. So do what Pam Bondi says, folks. Make sure that people who are violent out there in Florida, make sure that they are not misbehaving. Follow them and make sure they're abiding by the law. That's exactly what you need to be doing. See, what she's trying to do is promote vigilantism. So the same should be done with Zimmerman based on Pam Bondi's logic. Based on her logic, the same thing should be done to George Zimmerman. But I digress. But I'm still going to tie in the Cam Newton thing. I wasn't done with that. I just wanted to bring that up before I forgot. But with the Cam Newton thing, see, that all ties in really to the protest that's been happening with the NFL. They've been so desperate to try to deflect away from black people in the NFL bringing white supremacy to the international spotlight. They're very salty about that. They're very salty about black people bringing up systematic white supremacy, especially black NFL players, and making it internationally public, showing the hypocrisy of the system of white supremacy. So they've been desperate to find some kind of deflection and also some kind of way of punishing black athletes. And there was just a shooting in Vegas. For those who don't know, if you've been living under a rock, there was a mass killing. They keep saying the worst mass killing in modern history, which there were a lot of mass killings of black people in this country. There were mass like Tulsa, Oklahoma. There were many mass shootings in this country, but they normally don't count when it's black. There were several incidents of black people murdered in large numbers in this country. Black people, especially black people who wanted to create successful communities for themselves, they were systematically targeted, and damn near all the black folks were killed repeatedly in certain cities. Rosewood, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Wilmington, so many places. And this suspected white supremacist, his name was Stephen Paddock, I think that's his name. And it was a country concert outside of the Mandalay Bay Hotel in Vegas. This guy got a room and multiple people were shot. It was like 500 people wounded. They said 59 people dead. And I'm going to get on that number count. I'm going to get on that body count a little bit later. I'm just giving y'all the basics of the story. And when they started getting, because I was one of the first people putting out information, because I was listening to the scanners of everything when it was happening live, and I was putting the guy's name out there and where he lived and the whole nine, and people were doubting me. They tried to run with this ISIS story. They were doing everything they could to deflect from this, the fact that this was just another suspected white supremacist. And they're still trying to deflect. They were talking about this motherfucker was converted by ISIS. They were trying their best to deflect, and that was found out to be a crock of bullshit. Yes, it was a Jason Aldean concert. And Jason Aldean, look him up. On a side note, Jason Aldean went trick-or-treating in blackface a few years ago. Look that up if you want to know his steez. He went trick-or-treating in blackface a few years ago. Look him up. But this Stephen Paddock guy, they said he shot up a whole bunch of people. There's 59 dead, which I think there's more dead. I think they're minimizing the number of people killed. Also, when I was listening to the scanner, and a lot of people can verify this because a lot of people were listening to the police scanners when things were happening live, the police kept referring to multiple shooters. they kept referring to multiple shooters. On the scanner, they were like, they're shooting on the fourth floor, they're shooting on the 32nd floor. There were reports of shootings at other hotels. There were, if you look at some of the interviews right when things happened, there were people who were saying, hey, there were multiple shooters. There was one lady who said there was a lady running around saying, you're all going to die. These interviews are out there. But what they did is said, okay, this is a lone wolf situation. They always have to lone wolf the white supremacist suspects because you're never supposed to show them as terrorists. And they won't even call this terrorism. There's 500 people shot. And this is why I believe that there were more people involved in this, because how does one person, even with all that ammo, you shoot 500 people. You one fucking person and you done shot 500 people, wounded 500 people. So the thing is, they've been trying to minimize this thing in the way they describe this guy. It sounds like an eHarmony website. Well, he liked listening to music. He was a retiree. He liked long walks. He liked to pet his dog. I mean, they're talking like this dude has a Tinder account. They're real soft on this guy. But they will not call this guy a terrorist. They keep trying to lone wolf him. And they keep trying to deflect away from a lot of things connected to this case. And a lot of people are talking about, well, he can't be a suspected white supremacist. He has an Asian girlfriend. They love to point out if somebody's having sex with a non-white person, they couldn't possibly be racist. And y'all know I've talked about this many times. The fact that he has an Asian girlfriend further makes me believe he's a suspected white supremacist, because many of these white extremists have Asian significant others. Hell, half the alt-right have Asian significant others. Richard Spencer had a bunch of Asian girlfriends. A lot of those dudes have Asian significant others. Charles Murray, the guy who wrote the Bell Curve book, he lived over there in Asia and had a bunch of Asian women. The guy who owns Fox, ain't his chick Asian? A lot of these suspects. Rupert Murdoch, ain't his chick Asian? A lot of these cats have Asian significant others. That don't mean nothing. But the thing is with this guy, they keep trying to deflect. And notice the first day of the shooting, people kept using the shooting to deflect into taking shots at NFL players. I hope y'all noticed that. I saw many people using this as a way to deflect and take shots at NFL players. They were saying stuff like, yeah, the police, they ran into action. They didn't take a knee. They got up and they ran into action. They didn't take a knee like the NFL players. And I'm like, what kind of fucking reach is that? Like, what kind of reach is that? That's a hell of a reach. And they were saying stuff like, well, this is why, because I think a couple of people who were veterans, they got killed in the thing. And they were like, well, this is why the NFL players shouldn't kneel because of veterans like this. I mean, they kept trying to use this to take shots at the NFL players. They kept doing that. You even had the religious white supremacists. People like Pat Robinson, listen to him, and all of them are on code. The white supremacists, they know how to get on code. They quickly get on code. This is Pat Robinson, who's an old school white supremacist. He's old school with it. And, you know, he knows how to code the language up, talking about the NFL protest. That means those niggas are out of line. But listen to this. This is Pat Robinson. Listen to his coded dog whistles.
Violence in the streets, ladies and gentlemen. Why is it happening? You know,
this is his response to the Vegas shooting. Notice that they don't really put it on the fact that so many suspected white supremacist males are killing every goddamn body. It's never them to blame. They never blame them. And also, what's that lady who's the representative for the White House now, who that chunky white lady, what's her name? She replaced Spicer and all those guys. She's the spokesperson for the White House, and she says a bunch of dumb shit. And they were talking to her about, you know, the guns and, you know, should something be done about gun control. And instead of talking about these white supremacist groups and the shooting itself, she started talking about some damn guns in Chicago. She did the whole what about black on black crime deflection. She started talking about Chicago. So they've been deflecting and pushing the narrative onto black folks and trying to get the narrative off them. Yes, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. But this is Pat Robertson. Again, they've been deflecting left and right.
Violence in the streets, ladies and gentlemen. Why is it happening? You know, what I'd like to give you is the fact that we have disrespect for authority. There is profound disrespect of our president all across this nation. They say terrible things about him. It's in the news. It's in other places.
Well, he does terrible things, Pat. I mean, damn.
Places. There's disrespect now for our national anthem.
Oh.
Disrespect for our veterans. Oh. Disrespect for the institutions of our government.
That was his shot at the black NFL players. When they start talking about disrespect for veterans and the national anthem, that's them taking a shot at the Negroes. All the Negro players.
Disrespect for the court system. All the way up and down the line, disrespect.
The disrespect for the court system. The court, you have black folks getting executed on film and evidence planted on them, and the court system is, they're letting the white supremacists who do it go free. So that's nothing you're supposed to respect. You're not supposed to respect non-justice when people get evidence planted on them, and you're supposed to uphold the law, and you're planting evidence on people lying in court, and they still say not guilty. You're shooting unarmed, innocent people, and they say not guilty. You don't respect non-justice.
And when you lose that kind of respect, you lose this authority. But more than anything, until there is biblical authority, there has to be some controlling authority in our society, and there is none.
Well, that's Nazism talk. We need control. We need to control these niggers while we kill up everybody.
And when there is no vision of God, the people say, there's no vision of God, the people run amok. When there's no vision of God, the people run amok. And that we have taken from the American people the vision of God, the whole idea of reward and punishment, an ultimate judge of all our actions. We've taken that away. And when there is...
Well, that's called white supremacy. Yeah, reward and punishment. That's taken away because the white supremacists don't get punished. This is why you have these crazy shootings like this, because these white supremacists out here, they know there's a system that's going to give them a slap on the wrist, so that makes them want to kill more. So, yeah.
No vision of God, the people run amok.
Okay, so that was Pat White Supremacist Robinson, and he says vile shit, by the way. But yeah, the problem is these white supremacists, they get a pass. When you give somebody or a group of people a pass based on skin color, you tell any person that they are immune to any type of repercussions for their actions, they will overly indulge because there is no punishment mechanism. That's called white supremacy. The only people that's for is white supremacy. We can't do shit. We can't drive around and walk to the store to get Skittles or whatever, and you know, we're under the threat of immediate murder. The white supremacists can go out, rape, rob. There was a white girl who stabbed her boyfriend. I think she's like 19 years old. She stabbed her boyfriend like 12 times, went to court. They let her ass go. They were like, well, if we send her to jail, that's gonna mess up her potential. They literally said that. They were like, this woman, well, she has a lot of potential, and her going to jail is going to mess up her potential. I mean, you got the complexion for the protection. And what happens is, with that type of non-justice system, which is completely evil, by the way, it self-implodes. It implodes on itself. So now if you tell people you can rape with impunity, so now they're raping the raping kids, raping family members, and that in turn creates all types of psychological issues, which creates more turmoil, more murder. You tell people they can shoot and kill and do it with impunity, so they said, okay, fuck it. Let me start killing a whole lot of people. And this is what you're seeing. You're seeing white supremacy implode on itself. And if we want to talk biblical, see, when they start talking biblical, you really don't want to go there, because there's a lot of people who look at what's happening now to a lot of the white supremacists. The white supremacists, a lot of people are saying karmic things are happening to them. Some people have suggested the weather and all that shit attacking the country is karma. Some people are saying these white supremacists getting harmed or killing and people getting harmed. People say that that's karmic to a certain degree. I don't get too much into the metaphysical stuff, because my thing is about just practicality. What's happening now? What's the cause and effect? But there's a lot of people who look and see, hey, if you sit up and let dozens and dozens of black people get killed with impunity, the universe is going to deliver that same type of retribution. So don't be shocked. A lot of people have that type of narrative. So they don't want to go biblical. That's the thing they don't want to do. They do not want to go biblical, because that the Ogun is real. That's another thing. People are pointing out the spirit of Ogun. The Ogun is real. Shit. But the thing is, they've been so desperate to switch the narrative and point at something else to get the focus off of the fact that so many suspected white supremacist males are mass murderers. So they always have to lone wolf it. They always have to downplay it. They always have to make it minimal. They're not making the connection with this shooter, Steve Paddock. They're not making the connection that he lives out here in a place in Nevada called Mesquite. Mesquite is right out there by Clive and Bundy's ranch. As a matter of fact, I looked at the map. The guy, this killer, this terrorist, because that's what he is, he lives minutes away from the Clive and Bundy ranch. Clive and Bundy is in Bunkerville. Bunkerville is basically an unincorporated place right next to Mesquite. It's like walking distance. Not far at all. I mean, it's right there in the same place. When Clive and Bundy had all those white supremacist militia groups out there, it was the Mesquite police that they were going up against. And at those businesses in Mesquite, there were a lot of those white supremacists who were threatening to bomb places out there. So there's a history of violence in that location. So it's not a stretch to say that this guy who shot up the place in Vegas, that he don't know some of these fuckers out there. Most of those guns he got from gun stores out there. You think those folks don't know Clive and Bundy and they're not connected to that whole Clive and Bundy clique? You out of your fucking mind. That's a little bitty small hick town. They all know each other. But they're not making that correlation. No media outlets are making that correlation. They're not pointing out the fact that that's Clive and Bundy area right there. That's an area where they just had an armed militia point their guns at the government, and everybody's acting confused about this guy's motives. I can almost guarantee he has some kind of connection with them folks out there. But if they put that connection together, you cannot do the lone wolf talk. You see that? If you make that connection with him or any other person, now the lone wolf talk goes out the door. Now, this is a coordinated terrorist attack. That's their whole thing, to not make it look like terrorism, because if you make white supremacist males the face of terrorism, so now people are justified in defending themselves from that. You understand? So if a white supremacist roll up on somebody and you beat the brakes off of them and blow their brains out, you're justified if they're considered a terrorist. So they are walking on eggshells and doing all types of twists and turns not to label these white supremacist males as terrorists, even though most of the mass shootings and killings are by them. And most of these people be on websites like 4chan, Stormfront, and I know they took Stormfront down, but 4chan is another one. That's a straight up white supremacist website loaded with a lot of people connected with shootings and killings. And also, they're talking about this white supremacist dude, a suspected white supremacist killer. He wired like $100,000 to his girlfriend in the Philippines, and people are trying to figure out where he got all this money from. That's another thing. Who's funding this dude? Where he get all that money? Because he got a brother, and the brother's doing interviews. The brother's crazy as cat shit. And the dude, the killer, has been going to Dubai, and he's going to all of these places, and he wired last week $100,000 to his Asian girlfriend in the Philippines. And that looked like, hey, I'm about to go out, so here's a little money to hold you while I'm, you know, while I do my thing. So that looked like a little farewell money. Yeah, like, I ain't gonna see you again, so let me let you hold something. That's what that looked like. But they've been deflecting onto anything. So now the whole narrative is, well, what about gun control? And let me tell y'all something. That gun control talk is bullshit. Don't fall for that. They ain't about to take nobody's guns. Black folks, don't even sit down at the table with that gun control bullshit. They are not about to take no guns from nobody in a system of white supremacy. The gun, that's their strength. That's the only thing that keeps them in control over you. That is their equalizer. That is their penis. They're not about to give up no guns. They might do regulations on certain accessories to guns. A little bullshit like that, because this guy had all types of accessories to make the gun shoot multiple rounds and stuff like that. But they're not about to do no real gun regulation. They're not about to do it. In a million years, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. Because look at Timothy McVeigh. Timothy McVeigh, he was a white supremacist terrorist. He didn't use no gun. He used bombs. And this guy, Paddock, he had ammonium nitrate in his car. He had a bomb. He's going to blow up some shit. Or somebody with him. Again, this dude, I don't think he was acting alone. He had all of them weapons. That dude wasn't acting alone. And he had all that paper. He had all that money, so somebody was working with this dude. And the Asian girlfriend, she's acting like she didn't know what was up. She knew something. You don't, the hell you didn't know? This motherfucker got a house full of guns, and you don't know nothing? He had a house full of guns and ammonium nitrate. What she think he was going to do? Some gardening? They know. Come on now. And they, look, we know. That was a black person who shot up all those people, and he had a girlfriend. Now they would arrest his girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend, his baby mama, his side piece, any chick he fucked, they would have arrested her. And everybody else that he know, they would have arrested them too. They would have arrested everybody in the damn family tree. But they lone whooping him, talking to his crazy ass brother, running game. But again, they've been trying to deflect and somehow blame black folks. You know, they always got to find a way to point the finger back at black people. So that NFL diss, taking swipes at NFL players, that's been the go-to talking point. So like I said earlier, Cam Newton, he did a press conference. And let me let y'all see what he said. What he said wasn't bad at all. It was, Cam Newton was doing a press conference and a female reporter asked the question, and he kind of playfully, he was like, it was almost like a playful compliment, like, wow, you know, I'm surprised the female knows this. But this is what the fake outrage was about, and he's still trending on Twitter by this.
Pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and making getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck-sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny. But fun is coming along, man. This is a big game for him.
And that's it. You see what he just said? What he said right there, he was like, man, it's funny to see a female talking about routes. And he's laughing, and he said it kind of playfully. Basically, what he was saying, it's funny to see, wow, there's a female who knows her stuff. Because, look, I'm a dude. I don't know what the fuck. I don't know what routes are because I'm not a big sports fan, but I don't know what routes are. So he was really complimenting her. So they flipped that. That was the straw they were looking for. They like, give us a match. We'll strike a match. We'll strike it. So they got that. And now all of a sudden they're talking about he's sexist. They're all on Twitter talking about how sexist Cam Newton is. How dare you say that about a woman? And I mean, they're not really mad, by the way. It's pretend fake mad, but they're going over the top with it to be on code. So now what they're trying to do, their fake anger at him, that's their way of trying to switch the narrative to make it seem like black folks are just as bigoted as the white owners, as Trump and all the racist fans that call the football players niggers every damn day. So that's their way of saying, aha, you're racist too, but you're racist towards women. That's their aha. That's all that is. It's a bunch of game. That's them trying to deflect from the racism that's on the spotlight right now as far as the NFL. That's their way of deflecting and going over the top and all getting on code. And I saw a lot of these so-called reputable sports pundits running with this, Cam is sexist. Oh my God, this sexism. And you're a bunch of goddamn hypocrites because most of the NFL owners gave money to Trump, and Trump is Mr. Grab Pussy himself, and you did not have the same outrage. Many of you people in the dominant society who are outraged about Cam Newton's sexism are the same people who supported Trump. Many of you are Trump supporters. You supported a man who talks about grabbing pussy. All this man said was female. And now, oh my God, he's the most sexist person in the world. He needs to apologize. Is that trying to make him bow down? You know how they do black players. Black players, we can't beat you on the field, but we can beat you out here on the system of white supremacy and make you bow down and grovel and apologize. Or we're going to do you like we did Kaepernick. It's that type of threat that they like to hold over your head. Oh, yeah, and some of these people, it was one. Let me let y'all know this one woman's name because I was really going in on her, this fake suspected white supremacist so-called feminist. I'm going to let y'all know this woman's name right here. Her name is Rebecca something. Hold on one second because she hopped on my timeline. And that's another thing. A lot of these suspected white supremacists will get on my timeline with their bullshit because they're trying to really audition for a Fox News gig. So if they attack me, because I'm always attacked by these conservative media outlets. Let me see. Did she delete her shit? Hold on one second. She might have looked like she deleted her shit. Hold on one second. Hold on one second. Hold on one second. Let me see if she deleted her tweets for a second. Hold on. One second. Let me see, because I'm looking at it. Her tweets are not there, so she might have deleted. Okay, let me see. Wait. I hope I got screenshots of them. Okay, oh, she blocked me. There you go. Okay, she blocked me on her thing. But her name is Dorothy of Israel. So she's a female sports commentator or whatever. I don't know. And okay, she blocked me because I was exposing her ass. So let me look at this. Hold on. Let me do this. Y'all bear with me. But her name is Dorothy of Israel. So she hopped on my timeline with her fuck shit talking about, you're a black misogynist. You're defending Cam Newton. And I pointed out, I said, well, man, y'all being hypocritical over here. Got a problem with the hypocrisy here. And hold on. I was pointing out the hypocrisy, and I was telling her, I looked at her timeline, and there's shit on her timeline where she's shitting on Sandra Bland. I mean, this woman has utter contempt for black women. I mean, she says vile shit about black women. Her name is Dorothy of Israel on Twitter, and she says vile shit about black women, and she's supposed to be a white feminist, which further proves my point. I've always said these white feminists, they pretend to be pro-women and all that, but they have vitriol for black women. Whenever you point out black women being harmed by white supremacist males, they fall right in line. They justify that. She was justifying Sandra Bland getting pulled over and harmed. One of her tweets says, when black women attack white feminism, they are forgetting who made it possible for them to have rights as women. And they are racist. This is one of her tweets she put out in July 20th, 2015. So she's that type of suspected white supremacist feminist who shits on sisters and act like they do sisters a damn favor. Y'all have never done a goddamn thing for black women. That pissed me off more than anything. That pissed me off more than anything because they've always attached themselves to the black struggle and then turned around and shitted on black people. The early white feminists, they would attach themselves to the abolitionist movement and they would attach themselves to black people trying to get voting rights, and while parallel acting like they were co-signing the black struggle or co-opting the black struggle, they would shit on black society. They've always done that. They've always co-opted the black struggle and then turned around and shitted on us. Even in the 1960s, they would co-opt the civil rights struggle and say, hey, it's not about civil rights, it's about women's rights. And then when certain women started to go over there from the black community and prop these white feminists up, the white feminists got all the millions of dollars and resources and benefits and shitted on sisters, didn't do nothing. They've always done that. White feminists, they are vitriolic towards black women. The only time they use sisters is when they can get a couple of bed wenches who hate black society, and they can use the bed wenches to shit on black men so that the white feminists can get more money. Because, see, this is what they're trying to do. With Cam Newton, this fake outrage, especially from these white feminist groups, what they do, they use black folks as the poster boards. They say, hey, look at this guy. He's so sexist. We need to raise money to protect ourselves from the likes of Cam Newton. They always prop up a black man in order to raise some money. They raise gazillions of dollars with OJ back in the 90s. All those women's groups, those white supremacist feminist groups, they were raking in the money with the OJ shit. So now when Cam Newton did this press conference and he somehow smirked and laughed that the white woman knew her thing about sports, he almost put her in a position of, oh, ain't that cute? And that's like him being out of his place. Now, if a white person said that, it would not have been a problem. But when Cam did it, it was like, hey, wait a minute, nigga, you being a little uppity. The way Cam did it was like, oh, that's cute. She knows her stuff. So they trying to make it seem like it was a sexist thing, but no, it was an uppity Negro thing. How dare you talk down? It's almost like you're talking down to a white woman, not a woman, but you're talking down to a white woman. You're supposed to grovel and bow down to white people, including white women. You're not supposed to giggle and almost dismiss a white woman. This ain't nothing about sexism. This is racism. You're not supposed to minimize a white woman's contributions to the conversation. So this is why they're going to try to make him bow down, and they have all this fake outrage towards him as a deflection. And I see a lot of coons and bedwinches co-signing white mommy and white daddy. If you're co-signing this bullshit, you are a coon and a bedwinch. If you are a man, you are a butter biscuit eating coon, because these white supremacists are using this to get on code. Your stupid ass don't need to be co-signing that bullshit because they think the same thing about you. And the only people I see co-signing this white supremacist deflection are Negroes who work at these corporations, Negroes who work in the sports industry as pundits themselves, because you understand the office politics. So in order to keep your job, you got to get on board with the bullshit. So I see a lot of black pundits getting in, co-signing white mommy and white daddy, and the Negro bedwinches, they don't count. Because they've always looked for an opportunity to join white mommy and white daddy to dump on other black people, so they don't even count. We know where they stand. I just put up a tweet earlier that Ebony Magazine republished. It was an old article, but they ended up republishing it yesterday. From Ebony Magazine. And the name of the article, and this is from Ebony Magazine, Ebony Online. I posted it on my timeline on Twitter. The article is "My First Time with a White Guy." So you have some Negro bedwench talking about her first sexual experience with a white man and how good it was and how she was so pleasantly surprised. This is on Ebony, a so-called black publication that's supposed to be about empowerment or news about black folks. And we got Negro bedwench articles of you talking about your first time with a white man and how good the sex was. So we see where their mentality is. We see where they are. They're full bedwench at this point. They've gone 100% full bedwench. So I'm not shocked by any of the shit that any of their ilk get into. I'm just not shocked. But again, we stay on code because they are on code. We got to stay on code and don't get off code by co-signing fuck shit from the white supremacists. Because again, these people are not speaking out against the blatant racism, the blatant white supremacy that black folks have to endure. They are not doing anything or speaking out against it. So I don't want to hear about no fake outrage coming from being directed at Cam Newton or any other black person. If we're going to talk about being outraged about anything, we're going to have to talk about white supremacy. We always bring it back to that. Don't let them deflect you into these bullshit ass arguments and conversation. You bring it back. You control the narrative. I always say we have to control the narrative. We have to make a concerted effort to control the narrative, because if you let them control it, they're going to deflect you all over the place. And you're going to be standing right there confused. They are going to deflect. That is the new code. Not even the new code. They've been doing that. Control the narrative. On my Instagram, I posted up a picture from a book where they were talking about the native people. I think this is a school textbook from Canada. This is a school textbook from Canada. And this is how they lie to our children. Because again, they always have to minimize the horror and the terrorism that comes from the white supremacist society. And in this textbook, it shows an image of a white settler and an Indian. And the text read, it says, "Moving out, when Europeans settlers arrived, they needed land to live on. The First Nations people agreed to move to different areas to make room for the settlers." So this is the bullshit they're putting out in children's books. That when the European settlers came over, the Native Americans, or the First Nations people, as they call them up in Canada, that the Native people, the Indians, said, "Okay, hey, we'll just move over here and give you a little room. No genocide, no mass murder. We're just going to give you a little room to go ahead and set up shop." So this is the kind of false narratives that they're pushing as far as history. This is why we have to control history. This is why we have to control the narrative of what we do. Because they are going out of their way to hide their terroristic mindset. They are highly on code. And they are self-imploding. So we got to be on top of our game at all times, family. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. It has been real, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget, man, go get your tickets to join all of us at the 1804 movie screenings. One out here in Los Angeles next week on the 19th of October nationwide. Go to 1804movie.com. We added some more theaters. Let me give y'all a list of the theaters real quickly, ladies and gentlemen, so that you will know. In Atlanta, it will be at the Midtown Arts Theater. In Birmingham, England, it's going to be at the Millennium Point Auditorium. In Baltimore, it's going to be at the Senator Theater. Also in Baltimore, it's going to be at the Harbor East Theater. Because all my Washington, D.C. people, you got to go to Baltimore now because the Washington, D.C. Theater is sold out. So you got to drive up to Baltimore. Y'all got to carpool, take a train or whatever. In Boston at the Kendall Theater, Bridgeport, the Showcase Cinema, Chicago, Chatham 14, Charleston, South Carolina, the Terrace Theater, in Dallas, the Magnolia Theater, Denver, the Mayan Theater, Detroit, the Maynard Theater, Fort Lauderdale, Cinema Paradiso, Houston, the River Oaks Theater, Indianapolis, the Glendale Theater, in Los Angeles, which is next week, the 12th, that's the first screening in the whole country, the Area Fine Arts Theater, Miami at the Merrick Park Theater, Minneapolis, Edina Theater, New Orleans at the Prytania Theater, New York City is going to be at the Sunshine Theater. The first showing was sold out, but there's a 10 o'clock showing at the Sunshine Cinema in New York. So get your tickets for the 10 o'clock showing for the Sunshine Cinema. Norfolk, Virginia, Thursday, October 26th. Narrow Expanded Cinema. Philadelphia at the Ritz-Bortz Theater. Phoenix, Arizona at Palak Tempe Cinemas. Raleigh, North Carolina, Mission Valley Cinema. San Diego, Hillcrest Theater. San Francisco, the Clay Theater. Seattle, Crest Theater, St. Louis, Plaza Frontenac, and Washington, D.C., Bethesda Row, but that sold out completely. So get your tickets, ladies and gentlemen, and also go to Amazon, pre-order the video, pre-order the DVD, so when the DVD is released, you will be one of the first to get it. All my people from Indiegogo, we're going to be sending your DVDs shortly. So get those DVDs, we'll get the pre-orders, and get your tickets for the movie. Get your Ogun shirts at TariqElite.com, and I will holla at you guys on Ustream this Sunday. Y'all be good.